Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Many of the disciples of Jesus who were listening said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it's granted him by my Father." As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer walked with him. Jesus then said to the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter answered, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
How shall we make a return to the Lord for all the good he has done for us? We offer the Eucharist. That's what Psalm 116 points to. Take up that cup of salvation, to call upon the Lord's holy name, to offer a Eucharist, a sacrifice of thanksgiving. We probably for the rest of our life will never be able to take this great grace for granted. And even if we have to do it in a somewhat unnatural way, all looking like bandits, still worth it. And we're grateful for that greater knowledge. Today the church celebrates the feast of St. Athanasius, the great, intrepid, 4th century doctor of the church, who suffered so much to defend, ultimately, the accessibility of God. He's known for his famous treatise, De Incarnatione, on the Incarnation of the Lord. But the Arian heresy he was battling was particularly pernicious. It denied, really, the divinity and the humanity of Jesus. It denied the dual purpose of the Incarnation. First, God's taking on our humanity so that we could take on his divinity. And the Arian heresy was doing both, it was violating both. He taught that Christ was some type of created God, neither human, neither fully divine. And so it made a huge problem, part two of his great heresy, of the accessibility of God. That because he wasn't one of us, we couldn't really approach him. Because he wasn't God, he couldn't fulfill God's purpose in helping us to become truly his image and likeness. So he was out, and that had massive impacts, not just on the doctrine in the first years after the legalization of Christianity and what Christians believed, but on practice. Everything changes when you can't touch God, when the one who is written about in the Gospels wasn't really divine and wasn't someone we could truly access even through the sacraments. So Athanasius fought hard. He was exiled 5 times because division in the empire was politically inexpedient. And so even though Constantine had called the Council of Nicaea, in which he went as the deacon of the Patriarch of Alexandria and had an important role, even though officially Orthodoxy was the religion of the empire, at a political level, because in many places there were more Arians than Orthodox Christians, there were accommodations made. And in the 5 decades after the Council of Nicaea, Arianism grew to such an extent that one day St. Jerome woke up and he thought that the whole world was Arian. But that problem of the accessibility of God, the purpose, the why behind the incarnation, always remains at every point. Jesus came into our world, took on our flesh, to make himself accessible, to draw near to us, to make it possible for him to change us from the inside, to become other Christs. In today's Gospel reading, which is the 8th of the 8 parts of chapter 6 of St. John's Gospel, all about the Eucharist, we see why the Church puts it right in the heart of the Easter season. Because the Eucharist is the means by which we enter into the risen life of Jesus each day. If we gnaw on his flesh and we drink his blood, we have life in us. And Jesus wants to give us that life. That's why he makes this incredible gift accessible. One of the pains of the last several weeks has been the decision to make Christ inaccessible. Painful, utterly idiotic decision that was imbalanced. An overabundance of caution is a vice, not a virtue. But at least God, who seeks to bring good out of every difficult decision, he has convinced us of the importance of the Eucharist to live in its fullness the risen life of Jesus. We can still have contact to the Lord outside of the Mass, thanks be to God. But there's no greater means to enter into the risen life of Jesus than in the Mass, and that's why we're so grateful. We approach it with faith, as St. Peter says at the end of this passage, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You are the words of eternal life. We've come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." And because he believed in Jesus' words, he believed in the power of those words, performatively to change bread and wine on Passover later into his body and blood and give it to them to eat and to drink. This is the means by which Jesus continues to give us so that we might be able to experience the resurrection and so that the purpose of the incarnation would be able to be effectuated in us. The first reading, we see the power of that risen life and how Jesus continues to want to change lives through his mystical body, the Church, by the power of his resurrection. 2 miracles Peter works on the coast of the Mediterranean in the Holy Land. First with Aeneas, he goes and he says very important words. "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Jesus, through me, is healing you right now. Rise up." And that word "rise" is the same word as the verb that happened on the third day. He was giving Aeneas a participation in the power of the risen Jesus over death, over illness, over difficulty and trouble. And then he went on and he met the little gazelle, Tabitha. He didn't say those same words, "Jesus Christ heals you, Tabitha," but we see that it was likewise done by Jesus' power before he said, "Tabitha, arise," he himself descended. He fell to his knees in prayer, asking for a miracle. And then he was able to say those most powerful words. He who had proclaimed that Jesus has the words of eternal life recognized that Jesus was still capable of speaking through his Church. And Peter brought that power, the power to help us to get up, to those two. And then the whole place was amazed at what the risen Lord Jesus is continuing to do in his Church. Today, as we lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the Lord's name, as we offer this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we give thanks for how the Lord continues to enflesh himself among us. We ask for faith, like St. Athanasius, to know of that healing power, to teach of that healing power, to pray for that healing power, to allow ourselves humbly to become instruments of it. And as on the Saturday, the first Saturday of May, we likewise remember Our Lady. We take from her the fullness of the model of cooperation with the Incarnation and open ourselves up like she did for the Lord to become our flesh and dwell within us. For this great sacrament, we thank him for the opportunity to celebrate. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.